Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
I want you to get this. I love this translation. I know we know, let us not grow weary let us not grow weary in doing good, for we will reap a harvest. But I love what it says right here. For at just the right time. Just the right time. Sometimes when you least expect it, or when you don't know if it's ever going to happen, at just the right time, God always shows up and He always comes through. So let's pray. Father, I thank You that You are an on-time God. I thank You that You are faithful even when we are faithless. I thank You that You promise to establish and perfect and strengthen and settle us when we choose to resist the devil and to not grow weary in well-doing, but to stay faithful as You are faithful to us. And so, Father, I pray that You would help us to do just exactly that. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk to you this evening on the topic, in due time. So if you're taking notes, you can write that down, in due time. Because Peter says that if we humble ourselves in the mighty hand of God, He will exalt us in due time. Now, both of these passages of Scripture that we read, 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, those verses there, and then Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, both of them hold amazing promises for the people of God. But I find it interesting that we as believers, we're very good at finding the promises and missing what we have to do. Because there are things that are put in place, there are conditions, there are things that God expects us to have and walk and live in as responsible believers in Christ Jesus. But so much of the Christian world today, they want the blessings and the promises and the benefits without the responsibility. And so I want to talk to you about the responsibility, because there are great and mighty promises. Galatians tells us literally that a harvest of blessing will come upon us if we don't give up, if we don't grow weary in doing good. Peter promises that God will exalt us. That means He'll lift us up. In simple terms, that means He'll take us to a higher way of living, a better way of living. He wants to give you a better life, a better quality and condition of life and being on this earth. He wants you to be blessed. Listen to me. He wants you to have a better job. He wants you to have a blessed life. He wants you to have the best in life. He also promises to perfect us. That word perfect in 1 Peter chapter 5 means to restore or repair. So He says, after you've suffered a while, I'll restore you, I'll repair you, I'll establish you. That word means to secure firmly or to plant. He says, I'll strengthen you. That means to make you strong enough to move about. That's what that word in the Greek means when it says strengthen. Is, you know how you ever seen, like in a movie or a TV show, someone gets injured and then they're in critical condition and they say, well, they're okay, but they're not safe enough to move right now. You couldn't transport them somewhere else. That word strengthened literally means safe enough to move about, strong enough to move about. God will not just get you to where, okay, they're not in critical condition anymore, but He can send you, He can use you, and you can go and move and be used by God. And so it also means to settle, or He says He'll settle you. That means He'll give you a solid foundation. But even though there's amazing blessings, promises in Galatians 6, verse 9, 1 Peter chapter 5, both of these scriptures have a caveat, meaning there's something that we should keep in mind and be aware of concerning you will only receive these blessings in due time, in God's time. I want to remind you of something. If God said it, it will happen. The Word of God is not chained. Whatever it sets out to accomplish, that it will also perform. His ear is not dull that he cannot hear. His arm is not too short that he cannot reach. If God said it, it will happen. But sometimes we forget to factor in the fact that our timetable and God's timetable don't exactly work on the same scale. Okay? It's like yesterday we had to, Boaz was competing in a golf event and his tee time was 8:51. Well, that was in Georgia. That means 7:51 our time, okay? So that means getting there at 6:15. So that means leaving the house at, I'm sorry, that means getting there at 7:15. That means leaving the house at 6:15 with three children, okay? So 8:51, that doesn't sound too bad unless you're living in Central Time and you got to be there 40 minutes early. And sometimes we get so frustrated. Have you ever been there where you're just frustrated because things aren't happening quick enough? I prayed, I fasted, I obeyed God. Guess what? Abraham obeyed God and still had to wait years and years and years. And sometimes we want everything to work on a quick timetable, a quick turnaround. That because God said it, God has to do it now. And we get so frustrated because we've prayed our prayers, we've made our request to God. Maybe we even feel like he confirmed it, but it still hasn't happened. Christians, we can find confirmations in anything. You feel like God spoke to you in the word and you get it confirmed on the Cheerios box that morning. It's like, bless God, I got a confirmation. It's like, no, you can just read, okay? But God does, he does speak through in various different ways. I truly do believe that. God can confirm things different ways. But sometimes we get frustrated because God spoke, it got confirmed, we believe it, but it still hasn't happened. And then we begin to do what Paul warns us not to do. We grow weary. We get tired of doing good. I'm tired of waiting. I'm tired of being patient. God promised to bless me. God promised to strengthen me. He promised to restore me. He promised to settle me. He promised that he would exalt me in due time, but here I still am, and I don't have what I thought I was going to have. I'm not where I thought I was going to be. And God promised all this to me. You just need to wait and realize it says, if we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, he will exalt us when? In due time. We have to keep that truth in mind. We wonder, did God forget? God didn't forget. Or then we begin to question this, did I make it up? Did I just think I heard God and I wanted it so bad that I made it a reality in my own mind? Am I lying to myself? You ever done that before? Question, was that just me? Did I make that up? Did I imagine God spoke to me just because I wanted it so bad? Here's what you need to do. You make your request to God, and then you let the answer be up to God. And that's why it's so important. Jesus said, my sheep, they know my voice. It's important to know the voice of God, because if God speaks to you, don't let anyone talk you out of it. Don't let anything talk you out of it. That's why it's so important to know. No, I know it was God. And you may say, well, how do I get to know the voice of God? I would encourage you, the greatest thing you can do if you're struggling to hear the voice of God, eliminate any other distraction from your life. Because if all of you yelled your name to me right now at the same time, I know most of y'all's name, but there's no way that I could actually hear every single one of you clearly. But if I asked someone, even in the very back, to reveal their name to me, I could hear them if everyone else was silent and I just listened to them. And sometimes we can't hear God's voice and we don't know God's voice because we've got this voice and that voice. And so that's why if you have a big decision to make in your life, shut off your phone, shut off your TV. Don't read extracurricular activity, extra books. If you need to hear from God, it's amazing that we're like, I can't hear God, but we've got 1,000 different things coming into our mind. Just eliminate the distractions. And when he speaks, hold on to what he's saying. And know, in his time, it'll come to pass. I don't have to doubt it. It may be 99 years from now, but it'll happen. Why? Because he said it. If he said it, he will do it. You know, when God told Sarah that she'd have a baby, she laughed at him. The Bible literally says she laughed. He says, why are you laughing? And she's like, oh, I didn't laugh. And he's like, oh, you laughed. You laughed. But it's going to happen. Why? Because whatever God promises, it has to be performed. And let me remind you, because sometimes we get these things from God. I'm going to exalt you in due time. I'm going to promote you. You're going to own a business. You're going to have a child. You're going to, you know, whatever the promise is, it could be so specific for you and for your family. And God's spoken it to you and you're waiting on it. You haven't seen it yet. And we can get so frustrated. Let me remind you of this. He's a good God. You know what that means? He will never treat you bad. Every good and every perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variation nor shadow of turning. What does that mean? He never changes. He's been good since he said, let there be light, and he will be good until we see him face to face one day. And he won't stop then. He's a good God. And we get so frustrated because it hasn't happened and we doubt the goodness of God. It's such a simple message, but if you doubt the goodness of God, you will begin to doubt God himself, because the goodness of God is wrapped up in the very nature of who he is. He's a good God. That means he will never treat you bad. You know what? He's not just good, he's perfect. That means he never makes mistakes. Never once. He's never done something and went, uh-oh. Zoe has invented a word, and it's the cutest thing in the world. And it really helps, because as a parent, when your child spills something or when they drop their towel in the toilet like she did today, and then they say, I oopsidentally dropped this in the toilet, you're just like, it's okay, baby. It's fine. I oopsidentally do stuff sometimes too, right? I oopsidentally peed my pants. It's okay, baby. You know what I mean? Like, it's just cute. I don't know where she got oopsidentally, but she came up with that. God doesn't ever oopsidentally do anything. He doesn't make mistakes. He's perfect. You know what else God never does? He never gets overwhelmed. So when we think, you know, God doing stuff in due time, we're over here, we're so overwhelmed, we're so frustrated, we're so out of sorts. We're like, is it going to happen? When is it going to happen? How's it going to happen? And God's up there and he's like, it's no big thing for me. I'll do it when it's time to do it. And I'll explain to you later why that's so important. God can handle, he's not up there pacing the floors of heaven, wringing his hands. Can we? Will we? Should we? He's not overwhelmed. He also never forgets his promises, even though we might sometimes. He always remains faithful to do exactly what he said he would do. So what happens is we get these promises from God through his word, or we hear him, and then we have to ask ourselves, what do I do in the meantime? Right? Because he said, I'll exalt you in due time. Well, in the meantime, I like to look at it this way. Not just meantime, but in the mean space time. Because what takes place between God speaking and God fulfilling, sometimes it feels like a mean time. Life gets difficult. Remember what Peter said? After you have suffered for a while, that's the meantime. Now, that doesn't mean God is mean. It just means that there's some things that you have to learn between the promise and the fulfillment of the promise. It means I'm serving God, but everything ain't going exactly the way that I want it to go. I've been serving God. Now, I gave my life to Jesus for the first time when I was 4. Now, did I mean it? I don't know. Probably not. I was 4. But I do remember giving my life to Jesus at a children's camp when I was about 10 years old. And then I remember making another commitment at a youth camp. And then I remember making another commitment. And now I would say faithfully I've been serving God since I was probably about 17 years old. And I'm 33. I can tell you this. Things have not been perfect. Things still go bad, even when I'm being obedient. Even when I'm not acting a fool, being crazy, willfully going against the word of God, you know what? Things still don't always go my way. But that doesn't mean he didn't promise that he'd be good. Doesn't mean he's not faithful, and it doesn't mean that he's being mean. He made promises, and he doesn't lie. I just haven't seen the fulfillment of the promise yet, and there's things that I have to learn, and he wants to develop in me in the meantime. You know, it's like, we don't understand this now because we just whip out our phone and take a picture. But you remember when you used to have to take a picture and then develop the photo? You'd have to take it to get developed. And they would have to put it in what? A dark room. Right? Because it could not be developed properly in the light. There's some things that you can only learn walking through the valley of the shadow of death. There's some things that you can only learn when Jesus says, get in the boat and go to the other side, full well knowing that there's a storm brewing in the middle of the sea. But he says, I want you to go there. Why? Because in due time, I'll teach you something. In due time, it'll be revealed. I'll exalt you. I'll strengthen you. I'll settle you. I'll establish you. But there's a meantime that you might have to walk through in between. So you might be the place where you're like, you know what? God promised me that I'd be exalted, just like he promised David. He was anointed to be king over Israel. Didn't happen right away. Still had to fight a giant. Still had to run for his life from Saul. Still was lied on, was cheated on, didn't get everything his way. There was years and years and years before he finally stepped into the promise. And guess what? Even when he was in the middle of the promise, being king of Israel, he was usurped a couple times. And people tried, even his very own sons tried to take the kingdom from him. Everything's not always going to go perfect even when you get to the promise. It's like God promised the Israelites, I will take you to a land flowing with milk and honey, but you're going to have to go through the Red Sea, and you're going to have to fight battles along the way, and you're going to have to eat manna for 40 years, because there's things that take place between the promise and the fulfillment of the promise, but it's due time. When it's right, God will get you there. Maybe you're in like Joseph. God gave Joseph dreams. He said, your parents, your brothers and sisters, they're going to bow down to you. You're going to be exalted. But first you're going to have to be put in a pit. Then you're going to have to be sold into slavery. And then you're going to have to be lied on, wrongfully accused, put in prison. And then you're going to have a huge responsibility. You know, we want to think about how great it was for Joseph to rule all of Egypt. Could you imagine the stress that came with the fact that the entire nation's livelihood is riding on me? And I've got to organize all this. It wasn't as cush as we probably thought that it was. It was a big undertaking and a lot of stress that came with it. But maybe you're in one of those times, but you ask yourself, okay, what do I do until the due time? In fact, I wrote this out so that you can see it. What do you do with your time until it is your due time? Because remember what he said, if you humble yourself in the sight of God in due time. He didn't just say if you humble your, this is why I chose Peter over James. Not that James was wrong, but Peter, maybe he was just walking a little closer with the Holy Spirit than James. I don't know. But he said, if you humble yourself in the sight of God, he did not say you will be exalted, because that's what we want. We want to humble ourselves and immediately be exalted. But Peter said, no. If you humble yourself in the sight of God in due time, you'll be exalted. So what do you do with your time until your due time? Till it's due for God to strengthen you, settle you, establish you, and exalt you. What do you do? For as Galatians says, if you don't stop doing the right thing in God's perfect timing, when it's the right time, you'll receive a harvest of blessing. What do you do? I want to give you, six or seven? I don't know. Let me look. Seven things to do while you wait for your due time. It's kind of like expectant parents. Millie can remember this because Hutch is almost 12 weeks old now. So it's not too long ago, but it probably feels like a long time ago at the same time. What do you do when you're expecting, when you're waiting? And you're just like, is this baby ever going to come? Madison's had five babies now. So I guess I can say we've had five babies when really she had them. But, you know, I helped. And I help now. Now, you know, I help change the diapers and all that stuff. But all you can do is wait, right? But you can be preparing the nursery. You can be learning more about how to be a good parent. You can be stockpiling diapers. You can be, right? And so what do we do until we reach our due time? Number one, keep up the good works. You know, people say, hey, man, keep up the good work. Well, I'm saying to you, keep up the good works. Because Galatians, if you can put Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 up there again, please. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. So let's keep up the good works, because Paul's telling us at just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing, but there's a caveat, if we don't give up. And he's reminding us at the beginning, keep up the good works, right? Don't let anything keep you from doing the will of God, because the book of Ephesians says this. It says, we were created in Christ Jesus for good works. So in between the promise of exaltation or the promise of settling and strengthening and all that stuff that God is promising us that we've talked about, in between that, our job is I'm going to keep doing good works. So that means that I'm going to work while I wait. Now, I don't believe in works-based salvation. Works don't save us. But when we get saved, we should work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Okay? So we aren't saved by works. We're saved for good works. Because there's not enough good works that you can do to earn your way into heaven. But once God has redeemed you by the blood of Jesus Christ, you have accepted him, you should desire to do good works. And so while I'm waiting, I'm not just going to sit around and be lazy and fall asleep. That's why Paul said, awake, O sleeper, rise and shine, right? Because we're not called to just sit around and just wait for God to come back or wait for the exaltation. We should not grow weary in doing good. So we're going to work while we wait. We're going to serve and not stall. I remember when I got my first car, I was 16 years old, and my grandfather gave me a 1999 Chevy Prism that was the color of what comes out of babies after you have them, okay? And he was like, yeah, Spencer, I got you a manual transmission. And he was like, here's how you drive it. And he showed me for 2 minutes. And then he said, drive home. And I was like, I don't think I'd even start this thing, right? And so I got that thing in second gear and drove from Huntsville to Woodville in fourth gear because I went from first gear to fourth gear because I missed second gear when I went down. I just went straight to fourth, and I just drove for about 20 miles an hour from Huntsville all the way to Woodville, which is about 20 miles. And when I got into the median to turn to go on my parents' road there in Woodville, I stalled out. Thankfully, I stalled in the median and not in the middle of the road. But I stalled, and when I stalled, y'all, for a while, I wasn't going anywhere until I figured out how to get that thing started again. I needed a much better intro to driving a stick shift than what I got. I finally figured it out. But what happens is when we don't serve in the meantime, we'll stall. We need to keep active. We need to stay ready and stay prepared. It's like the five virgins and that they kept oil in their lamps. And there was five. They didn't have any more oil. And when it was time to get into the wedding feast, the door was closed because they had to go look for more oil. They weren't ready. So we're going to work while we wait, serve and not stall. And we're going to give until it's time to get. Keep up the good works. Sometimes we're like, oh, God promised I won't get. Well, you need to keep sowing. You need to keep giving because you can't reap if you don't sow. To everything, Solomon said, there's a season. There's a purpose. There's a time under heaven. So don't miss the due time because you don't get to make the rules. You don't get to decide. It's my time. God gets to decide when it's due time. You just keep doing what's right. So keep up the good works. Love, give, serve, etc. Number two, second thing you do, stay humble. That's what Peter said. Therefore, if you will humble yourself under the hand of God in due time, he will exalt you. So I want to encourage you, when you're waiting for the fulfillment of what God has promised you, don't give any room to pride. Don't let your heart trick you into thinking you're better off when you're in control. That's what pride is. Pride is saying you can do it better. You need to be in control. You need to be in charge. In fact, that's exactly what Satan did when he came and tempted Jesus in the wilderness. He was trying to make Jesus act independently of the Father. He said, if you're God, prove it by turning these stones into bread. If you're God, cast yourself off of this high place and make the angels come and get you. And Jesus responded every time with a scripture. It is written. It is written. And it says. And so a lot of times the enemy, you see, the same thing that he tempted Eve with in the garden, he tempted Jesus with in the wilderness. Because pride was his original sin, and he's going to try to get you to fall to pride the same way. He wants you to think that you can do it on your own. And so that's why I say you can, because if you look at it, Peter doesn't say, hey guys, I've got great news. When the time is right, God will exalt you. That's why I say there's a caveat. There's a condition. He says, if you humble yourself, you can't just think that you've got it all figured out and you've got it going perfectly. If you humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, in due time, he will exalt you. So number one, keep up the good works. Number two, stay humble. Number three, give it all to God. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Because what Peter says next is he says, therefore, humble yourself in the mighty hand of God that he will exalt you in due time. And then he says, casting all your care upon him. You know why? Because he cares for you. Everything that you have going in life right now, no matter how good it is, give it back to God because it's from him anyways. No matter how bad it is, give it to him because only he can change it. No matter how ugly it is, give it to him because he already saw it and knows it anyways. And only he can make it, better. Bring it to him. Don't hoard your feelings. Share with him what you feel and what you think. Listen, I want you to know this about God. He does not despise your emotions. He gave you those emotions. He gave you those feelings. Sometimes we're like, well, I don't want to be angry. I don't want to be mad. He already knows you're angry. He already knows you're mad. Cast your cares on him. Instead of spewing out poison on your friends or your family because you're mad, and listen, we're all guilty of it. We get frustrated at one thing, but we take it out on them. Why don't you cast your cares upon the Lord? Just say, God, I'm really frustrated by this right now. I'm really struggling in this area right now. Give it to God. Because sometimes those things, if we don't deal with them, it'll be like we talked about Sunday morning. They'll just pollute and pollute and pollute your heart where you can't see clearly anymore, and now you're polluting other people. So give it to God. The fourth thing is be sober. And I'm pulling all these out of 1 Peter chapter 5 because he says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. So that's stay humble, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. No, in verse 8, he tells us, be sober. That word sober literally just means to not be intoxicated. So don't let anything intoxicate you and hinder your ability to decipher or compute clearly what's taking place. Because sometimes what happens is, when we are wanting what God has promised to exalt us, all these things we've talked about, all of a sudden when it doesn't happen, we get discouraged. And when we get discouraged, we turn to things. Maybe it is a substance, but maybe it's not a substance. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's an emotion. Maybe you're prone to discouragement. You're prone to depression. And you give into that thing and it intoxicates you. And now you can't see clearly anymore because you are seeing things through your pain that it's making you not be sober-minded. So often as Christians, we want to just point the finger at alcohol. I'm not telling you go get drunk because that won't fix your problems either. What I'm saying is this. Don't just think, oh, well, I don't drink wine, so that doesn't apply to me. I don't drink beer, so that doesn't apply to me. Being sober in your, when you look up this word in the Greek, it's not just it. Yes, it talks about not being drunk with wine. It also talks about abstaining from wine. But do you know what one of the most strong definitions is to be sober-minded. That's what Peter's talking about. In fact, some translations literally translate this, be sober-minded. Be clear in your thinking. Remember, God promised this. He's going to do it. Don't let anything cloud your thinking. Because the enemy and your flesh will tempt you with anything and everything to distract you from what God has already promised you, from what God has already told you. So don't miss what God has for you in due time because you're unclear in your mind and your emotions. My encouragement is stay clear and stay clean in your mind and in your heart. Number 5, watch while you wait, because he says we have an adversary. He's real, the devil, and he's roaming around like a lion. And guess what? He is seeking whom he may devour. So he says be vigilant. Peter warns us of this. He's saying don't be ignorant of his tactics. Don't be ignorant of his devices. Be alert. No, I would encourage you, the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 says this, this is the will of God, your sanctification, that each one of you would know how you ought to possess your own vessels in sanctification and in honor. I don't think we talk about this enough, that each one should know how to possess your own vessels. Do you know that each one of us have triggers? That when something happens, we have a trigger that it causes us to turn to a vice or to turn to an emotion or to turn to something that is wrong, because inside of us there's a sin nature, each and every one of us. And so there's triggers. Maybe it's your boss goes off on you and that triggers you to drink too much or to be mean to your spouse or to become discouraged or to become angry or to respond with cussing him out and giving him a piece of your mind, or just wishing that you could do it on the inside. And we have to know our own vices and know our own triggers. I need to know, what's my weakness? When things don't go my way, what do I run to? Where do I turn to? Because if I do not identify those places and I just stay ignorant to them, I'll continue to be in them. And I don't want to do that. I want to be vigilant. I want to watch while I'm waiting. I don't want to be fooled by the enemy. So my encouragement is stay prayed up and stay filled up with the word of God. Because if you're full of the word, you can't be full of anything else. If you're prayed up, the enemy can't get you down. So stay prayed up and filled up with the word of God. Number 6, resist the devil. This is also over in James. He says, resist the devil, and I love this. He'll flee from you if you just resist him. Now, I want to say, resisting the devil, we may never, and hopefully we don't ever have to, fight the devil face on. The devil can only be in one place at a time. Some people are like, the devil's after me. I'm like, the devil ain't been anywhere in your zip code in years. I'm not saying he doesn't have demons. I'm not saying there's not principalities and powers, but I'm talking about the devil himself. The Bible says resist the devil. So what I'm talking about is anything that is a representation of the devil, anything that has the devil behind it. That's why the fight that we're in right now in America, with whether it's same-sex marriage or whether it's transgenderism or it's abortion, any of these evil things that are trying to come, that's where Christians, we've got to put our foot down and go, no, we're not going to stand for it. We don't believe in that because we believe the word of God. That is part of resisting the devil, okay? So oppose anything. This is my encouragement to you as believers. Oppose anything and everything that the devil stands for. Don't let it have any place in your life. Don't give it a foothold. That's why there are certain things in our home, we don't watch it. You can call me legalistic, but the devil's not going to have my children. I'm not going to be entertained by adultery because I want to stay faithful to my wife. I want her to stay faithful to me. We made a promise before God to one another. And so therefore, I'm not going to sit there when there's adultery going on the TV and let that be my entertainment. You can call me legalistic. You can say whatever you want. I'm not going to turn around and tell you, you can't watch it. I'm just telling you what I believe because I'm resisting the devil because I don't think adultery is of God. I think that faithfulness to one man and one woman that's made a commitment under God, I think that that's the way God wanted it to be. And so I'm not going to give the devil a foothold. I'm going to put on my spiritual armor every day and I'm going to be strong. Because then what he says, resist the devil, stand fast in the faith. Now, note that Peter tells us to stand fast in the faith. Why? Because he doesn't want us standing fast in our own strength. Because if we do, we'll fall. If I just don't do this and don't do that and resist the devil. In fact, the book of Jude, which many people think that Peter and Jude, one or the other copied one another. I can't remember which one came first. But Jude, he says this, that when the devil was trying to dispute with God over the bones of Moses, that the angels that were talking with Jude, or I'm sorry, that Jude tells us the angels that were talking with the devil, they did not even bring a reviling accusation against the devil themselves, but rather they said, the Lord rebuke you. Why? Because the devil cannot fight with God. It's a battle he cannot win. And so when I stand fast, I don't stand fast in Spencer DeVries or in my righteousness or in my willpower or my ability. I stand fast in the faith because I know in due time, because of faith, because God is faithful, he'll reward me. So not my own ability or my own opinion, but from faith and by faith. All right, here's the seventh one. Embrace the struggle. Nobody wants to hear this, do we? But that's okay. But you have to. Why? Because no storm can last forever. So just embrace that it's here and realize if it's here, God allowed it. Because anything that comes into your life, God allowed it to happen. As a blood-bought child of God. Now, there are some things that we let into our life, and that's where we need the wisdom and the direction of the Holy Spirit to go, God, is this something you allowed or is this something I allowed? Okay? And if it's something God allowed, then I need to embrace it. Because Peter said, after you have suffered a while, and he said, don't worry, your other brothers and sisters, they're suffering too. You're not special because you're suffering. You're not hated because you're suffering. Everybody's going to go through some suffering. But you know what? Diamonds need pressure. And your shirt, when it gets wrinkled, it needs some heat to get the wrinkles out of it sometimes. Sometimes we need some suffering. We need some pressure. We need some heat put on us because we don't realize what God's doing is he's forming something beautiful and he's smoothing out the wrinkles. He's getting us presentable. We need some struggle to strengthen us and prepare us to not faint or give up. Because you know what? When God exalts you to the next level, I haven't played a lot of video games, but one thing I do know, the next level always gets harder. And sometimes we're so desperate for the next level, not realizing that we got to learn what we need to learn on this level so that when we get to that level, we're strong enough and we're wise enough and we're ready enough. Now, I want to close by talking about this due time. Because that's what we're talking about the whole time. Those are the seven things you need to be doing with your time until it's your due time. But now, what is due time? It is, the Greek word time is, we would probably say it kairos. It's actually pronounced kairos. And it means fitting season. It's actually appointed time, but I was in a hurry making these slides, and so I wrote appointed time. But it's appointed time. So kairos, fitting season. There's a moment in the life of John when Jesus is speaking, and he says, I have many things to say to you, but you can't yet bear them. The reason that God waits until due time and he allows us to go through the meantime is because if he gave it to us now, it wouldn't fit. There's certain things that it's not the season for it. And we want it now, but it's not time for it. It's like if you came in here tonight with a big old parka, that's a, for you Southerners, that's a big snow jacket. And you came in with some snow boots and some long johns on and some, you know, some pants, some thick snow pants on. Everybody would be looking at you like you're an absolute loon, and they would be totally right. Because like Brother Gary said, it's short season. He said, I almost wore shorts tonight. I said, me too, but my religiosity won out and I'm in pants. But I wanted to wear shorts. So I might be wearing pants on the outside, but in my heart, I've got shorts on. I only wear jeans when I have to. I'm more of a shorts kind of guy, laid back. But there are certain things that you only wear them in season. And there are certain things that God will give you in due time, because if he gave them to you now, you know what? If God blessed you now the way he wants to bless you then, it would ruin you. It'd ruin you. Because let's just talk, and there's different scenarios for different things, but let's just talk about a financial blessing. If God doesn't prepare you in the meantime for the blessing, when you get the blessing, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And if God doesn't get the love of money out of you before he gets the money to you, the money will ruin your life. And so it's not because God doesn't love you that he hasn't given it to you yet. It's because he does love you. It's like, I don't let my 10-year-old drive my car. Why? Because I love him. It's not because I love that car that much. It's just a hunk of metal. I'll have to get rid of it eventually one day anyways. But I love him. And I don't want him to get hurt. And so I won't give him the keys until I teach him. I'm not going to do like my grandfather. Here's 2 minutes on how to drive a stick shift. Drive it home. It was probably longer than 2 minutes. But at 16, it felt like 2 minutes. And I was so nervous, I couldn't be like, Granddaddy, I don't know how to drive this thing. I wanted to prove to him I could, but I couldn't. So, but if God gave you the blessing right now, instead of benefiting you, it ruined your life. It may look for a while like it's going good, but you know how many people I've seen that they were nothing, then they got something, and when they got something, their life went on a continual downhill decline. Because the blessing, they weren't ready for it. And they got there before they were ready. So thank God that, okay, I know in due time you'll exalt me and you'll get me what I need. The calling that God is, maybe you have a call in your life to preach or to lead or to teach or to minister in some shape, form, or fashion, or to whatever it may be. You know what? If God gave it to you before you were ready, instead of benefiting and building his kingdom and edifying the church, it would destroy you and hurt other people. So thank him that it hasn't happened yet, because he's getting you ready. The business that God wants to bless you with, if he gave it to you right now, it'd crush your family. It'd ruin your marriage, destroy your children. Instead of setting your family up for future generations of generational wealth and prosperity, they can give into the kingdom of God. So just thank him. God, I'm waiting for the fitting season till it fits right, you know, till you grow into it. Trust his fitting season. He's got you sized up. Just like a tailor would size you up for a custom fit suit, God's sizing you up. He knows exactly what size you are. He know, or what size you're going to be when it's time to release you. He's got you sized up, and he is weaving you a destiny that at the right moment it's going to happen. So don't grow weary in doing good. He didn't say don't grow weary, period. You know why he didn't say don't grow weary? Because that's an impossible thing to command. You're going to get weary. That's not what he said. He didn't say don't get weary. He said don't get weary in doing good. That means don't get tired and give up on doing the right thing. Even though it may not always be easy, always choose the right thing. Stay humble. Give everything to God. Be sober-minded. Watch while you wait. Resist the devil. Embrace the struggle. because you know it won't last forever. And in due time, in your fitting season, God will fit you with every single thing that you need because his timing is perfect and he's a good God who gives good gifts. Amen. Stand to your feet with me tonight. Father, I thank you so much for the promises that are in your word. And I just speak due time over your people tonight. If you just receive that, if you feel comfortable, lift your hands. God, I pray that you would help each and every one of us to submit our hearts and say, God, I'm submitted to your due time. When you want it to happen, it'll happen. It may be to me, it may seem like the very last second, but I know that you're always right on time. And so, God, I just say that we want to stay humble. We want to submit ourselves to you, subject ourselves to you, and trust that you are a good God and you know better. So, God, we give it to you tonight. We cast all it. Maybe you got some cares that you need to cast upon God tonight. Right now is the good time. Say, God, I cast that worry, that financial worry, that relational worry, that medical worry. God, that situation at work that I don't know what to do with, I give it to you. The frustration that I had earlier towards my boss or towards the children or towards my spouse or towards that situation, I give it to you right now because I know you're a good God and you care for me. And I don't want to carry that into the season that you have for me of the due time that is coming. So I say, God, here I am. I give it all to you. I embrace the struggle. God, I know that it's in the struggle that you strengthen and you perfect and you lead and guide us. And so, God, I know that if you allowed it to happen, it's for our benefit, not for our detriment. And so we trust you tonight, and we say that we want to walk in your due time, not until you're ready. We don't want to try to rush you. We don't want to fall behind. We want to walk in step with you. In fact, that's one of the greatest things that I've learned, if I can just be transparent with y'all for a minute, in pastoring this church, is to just trust God's timing. Amen. I wanted this building in 2020, but we didn't get it in 2020. We didn't get it till 22, but I wanted it right away. Some of you guys that are here, we wanted you guys yesterday. We wanted you when we planted. You guys didn't show up until much later. Why? Because God knew who we needed, when we needed them. But so often we want it, and we want it right now. Just one of the greatest things I've learned is God just saying, just trust me. Trust my timing. My timing's perfect. I got you. I got you. But there's that temptation to feel like, well, I need to take control. I need to take the bull by the horns. I need to make this happen. Just let God work. There's a saying that the young people are saying right now, let him cook. I don't know really what it means. Other than like, it means like that guy's on fire. Just let him cook, right? So just let God cook. Just let him, because he's working up some fire in the kitchen of heaven right now. Okay, yeah, like a chef. He's making some good chicken or something. Some good fried chicken. I don't know, something good. So may the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you, may he keep you in his peace, may he smile all over you, and may you wait until the due time that God has for you. And I know that in that due time, he will exalt you and bless you and prosper you in everything, because his heart is for you and he's not against you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. I love you.